Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Leading Britain's conversation, Tom Swarbrick. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
10 to 6, Friday evening. Tom Swarbrick here on LBC means, as you know, one thing. With confirmation that week really is a long time in politics, it's Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, do you remember the halcyon days of last week when Democrats were daring to dream? After sweeping victories in off-year elections, we all wondered if they had finally relocated the vertebrae they need to vanquish Donald Trump and his Make America Great Again movement. Well, this week, very much on brand, the Democrats plucked defeat from the jaws of victory.
You can see how tired I am. I've been here all weekend. I've been working throughout the past few weeks to try to prevent this moment.
For an exhausted Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, the moment he dreaded had arrived. Eight of his fellow Democrats decided last weekend to blink. They crossed party lines and voted with Donald Trump's Republicans to end the longest government shutdown in American history. And they got nothing in return for their capitulation. Certainly nothing that wasn't available to them 6 weeks ago. Senator Murphy, like so many other Democrats, was feeling utterly betrayed by his eight colleagues and seething about the party squandering the advantage it had secured at the polls just 1 week earlier.
After the elections on Tuesday, it just became absolutely clear that the American people do not want Democrats to be bullied into submission. They want Democrats to fight for their health care. They want Democrats to fight Trump's illegality. There's no way to defend this. And you are right to be angry.
On this vote, the ayes are 60, the nays are 40. The bill, as amended, is passed.
That vote came at the end of a weekend in which thousands of flights were cancelled all over the country because the unpaid air traffic controllers weren't showing up for work in sufficient numbers, and after President Trump unashamedly used the threat of hunger as a political weapon, denying America's poorest citizens access to full nutrition assistance payments and the food stamps that 40 million Americans rely on to put food on the table.
I'm actually joining you today from right outside a community food kitchen. We are only about 3.5 miles north of the White House.
Last Sunday afternoon on Vanessa Feltz's program here on LBC, we reported live from one Washington food bank where the numbers of people looking for assistance was growing and the pressure for an end to the shutdown was mounting.
We're seeing people arriving with shopping carts. There are African Americans here. There are Asian Americans here. There are white Americans here. Many of the people now using these food banks are furloughed federal government workers, civil servants who have no idea when their next paycheck is going to be coming.
By that night, those eight Democrats in the Senate had caved. Angus King of Maine led them.
By shutting the government, we're actually giving Donald Trump more power. And that was why I voted yes. I did not want to hand Donald Trump additional power to decimate the federal government, to decimate the programs that are so important to so many people.
Left-wing progressives are furious, accusing the rebels of caving in to Trump and feeding his narrative that this was in fact a Democratic Party government shutdown. The party's leaders in the House and Senate are facing calls to resign. The events of this week will serve as a millstone around the necks of Democrats, and as the start of a civil war that will convulse the party at the very moment it should instead be gearing up for next November's midterm elections. Now, speaking as we are this week of halcyon days, do you remember President Trump's state visit to Britain? No, not the first one, the second one, just back in September.
This is truly one of the highest honors of my life. Such respect for you and such respect for your country.
That's the one. Donald Trump, not even 2 months ago, delivering a beautiful tribute to Britain and all it stands for as the King hosted him for dinner at Windsor.
A fifth of all of humanity speaks, writes, thinks, and prays in the language born on these isles, and perfected in the pages of Shakespeare and Dickens and Tolkien, Lewis, Orwell, and Kipling. Incredible people, unbelievable people like we have rarely seen before.
Well, I tell you what, mate, if you think they're good, wait until you check out our public broadcaster. Far and away, by common agreement, the world's finest.
Are you going ahead and suing the BBC?
Well, I guess I have to. You know, why not? Because they defrauded the public.
Now, you might be tempted to wonder how we got here. And yes, I know the BBC mucked up the edit of Trump's January the 6th, 2021 speech, in which he clearly incited his mob to riot on Capitol Hill, just not in precisely the way they presented it on that edition of Panorama. But as we suggested back in September, this is what happens when you shoot your bolt too early in the bilateral relationship between a British Prime Minister and the most quixotic and unreliable president in US history. The state visit, the pomp, the ceremony, the flattery, it's all behind him. Now it's scorched earth time.
You know, this is our supposedly our great ally, BBC. The government has a chunk of that one, I guess. But that's a pretty sad event. They actually changed my January 6th speech, which was a beautiful speech, which was a very calming speech, and they made it sound radical.
Now, of course, the government doesn't have a chunk of the BBC, as he suggested on Fox News there. He hasn't even done the basic research about how Auntie is financed. And on January the 6th, 2021, there was, of course, nothing calming about his speech. He did urge his supporters to fight like hell. He just didn't do it in a manner that was directly connected to his instruction to them to march up to Capitol Hill. But they got the message anyway. This next clip comes from the edition of American Week that aired on this program on January the 8th, 2021, 2 days after the deadly riot. And every word of it is as true today as it was then.
We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol. We're going to try and give our Republicans the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country.
He lied at that rally relentlessly. He told the crowd Joe Biden's election victory could be halted when it couldn't. He claimed the election had been stolen when it wasn't. He insisted Vice President Mike Pence had powers that he didn't. He promised even to walk with the crowd to Capitol Hill when he knew that he wouldn't. So let's be completely clear about what is happening in Washington today, November the 14th, 2025. The White House is waging war on the BBC as a broader proxy to create upheaval in the UK, undermine Sir Keir Starmer's government, and help Nigel Farage gain the keys to number 10. How do we know? Well, let's look at the role GB News played this week, the channel on which Mr. Farage hosts a nightly programme. Their Washington-based presenter was welcomed to the White House briefing room and to the most prominent seat in the House by the president's press secretary.
In our new media seat, we have Bev Turner, who works for a new outlet, a UK outlet, but based here in Washington, D.C., GB News. Bev, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Caroline. So the clock is ticking on the Friday deadline by which the BBC must retract and apologise for their malicious edits of the president in the documentary shown last year. Is the president prepared to bankrupt the BBC in his pursuit of truth and justice?
Well, thank you, Bev. The president has made it very clear that this is a leftist propaganda machine that is unfortunately subsidised by British taxpayers, and he thinks that's extremely unfortunate for the great people of the United Kingdom and Great Britain. And I think that the president was deeply concerned by the editing, the purposeful and dishonest editing of his speech that was so clearly fake news.
Where do these people get off? Well, apparently only after the payment of $1 billion by the BBC to President Trump. He is, as you know, threatening to sue the corporation in Florida, where his previous efforts to go after media companies have not always gone so well. He sued the New York Times there for $15 billion, even more than the BBC, claiming the newspaper defamed him by daring to suggest that he was not as successful in the world of business as he claims. Judge Stephen Merriday, a Republican appointee, dismissed the lawsuit. He described the complaint as tedious and burdensome and reminded the president the courts are not a public forum for vituperation and invective. So let's see how that case against Panorama goes. Now, next week, there will be even more reason for the president to seek more distraction from the smouldering depth charge beneath his presidency, the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. The House of Representatives is going to vote to require the release of all documents in the government's possession that relate to the now deceased sex trafficking financier. In a week in which we learnt the president may have had a deeper level of knowledge about and involvement in Epstein's activities, the White House continues working overtime to try, for whatever reason, to stop that full disclosure from happening. Let's end this week on a slightly less serious note.
Everybody, this is the last one.
At the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia, the country's treasurer Brandon Beach was on hand on Wednesday to mint the last ever 1 cent coin. There will be no more copper pennies that ever roll off the production lines after President Trump discovered that each one was costing nearly 4 cents to produce.
3, 2, 1.
They have been in continuous production since the 1790s, but while the Mint won't be making any more of them, they will remain legal tender. There are an estimated 300 billion of them in circulation. So here's an idea, Tom. If the BBC were to search under every sofa in America, they could probably collect them all up and then dump them in the driveway of Mar-a-Lago to pay President Trump off.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.